No more confusion about where you stand. No more exhaustion from sending texts that get low-effort replies. No more analyzing mixed signals while you continuously invest your energy into a situation that feels fundamentally uncertain. Most men are burning themselves out, operating on pure hope, terrified that if they stop pushing, the entire connection will collapse. They are stuck in a performance trap, endlessly initiating and planning, only to feel more depleted and less respected every day. But the truth is clinical and absolute. The moment you stop chasing is the moment you see everything as it truly is. The moment you withdraw your energy is the moment you discover if her interest is genuine or if you were simply convenient. Silence is not weakness. It is the ultimate diagnostic tool. And there is one specific test that cuts through all the noise, which is the only test you will ever need to see the truth. And this test is as simple as it is terrifying for most men. For the next 7 days, you stop all initiation. This means you do not send the good morning text. You do not ask, "How was your day?" You do not react to her social media stories as a way to start a conversation. You do not forward a meme, an article, or a song. You do not suggest the next date or ask about her weekend availability. Your job is no longer to be the engine of the interaction. Your job is to become the observer. You are removing your energy as a variable to see what the system does on its own. This is not a game of chicken. It is not about manipulation or negging. This is a clinical diagnostic procedure. You are simply going quiet to collect clean data on genuine reciprocity. If she reaches out, you respond warmly and engage. If she asks to see you, you make time. But the proactive, forward-moving, chasing energy is immediately and completely cut to zero. This silence is the laboratory where the truth is revealed. Now, if your immediate visceral reaction to this is panic, if your stomach drops at the very thought of not contacting her, that panic is the diagnosis. That fear is the answer. It is the validation that you already suspect the truth, that you are the only one holding the entire interaction together. You are afraid to stop paddling because you intuitively know you are the only one keeping the boat from sinking. This fear confirms you are operating from a place of scarcity. You are terrified that your absence will not make her wonder where you are, but will simply allow her to forget you exist. You have mistakenly equated your effort with her interest. You believe that the more you invest, the more she will value you. This is a catastrophic misunderstanding of human psychology and the core logic of how value is actually built, which is exactly why we must analyze the paradox of effort. The paradox of effort is this: in dating, the more you desperately try to prove your value, the less you actually have. Most men operate like a new hire on the first day of the job. But instead of simply showing up, learning the role and demonstrating competence, they are offering to work overtime for free. They are promising their entire annual bonus before the first performance review. This is managerial insanity. In any professional environment, rewards are earned. They are calibrated and delivered based on demonstrated performance, consistency, and proven value. You don't get the keys to the company vault on day one just for showing enthusiasm. Yet, in dating, men are starting this probationary period by giving away their most valuable assets, their time, energy, and validation, hoping it will inspire loyalty and attraction. It doesn't. It signals a lack of self-worth and poor resource management. It inspires opportunism, not respect. This compensation package is your focus, your planning, and your emotional investment when you flood her with maximum effort. From the very beginning, you are paying for a job that has not yet been done. You are signaling that your resources are cheap and your time is not scarce. This is not how you build attraction. This is how you build an expectation. True attraction is built on calibration. Your investment must be earned. It should follow her demonstrated interest or lead it only, slightly, not desperately. Try to create it out of thin air. When you give everything up front, you are teaching her that your role is to give and her role is to receive. You set a precedent that you are the performer and she is the audience. This dynamic is fundamentally broken. And this pattern of initial overinvestment doesn't just lower your value, it actively builds the walls of your own prison. This pattern of overinvestment is unsustainable for a simple psychological reason. Human beings are built to adapt. Think of your effort, your planning, your validation, your grand gestures as a stimulant. The first time you deliver a hit of high effort, it feels special. It creates a peak of excitement and appreciation. But the brain calibrates to this new reality with terrifying speed. What was once a luxury quickly becomes the baseline. The thoughtful gesture that impressed her last week is now the minimum requirement for her to feel normal in the interaction. This is the law of escalating stimulus. You have trained her nervous system to expect this level of performance. You've started the relationship at a sprint, and now you cannot slow down to a sustainable jog because any reduction in your effort will be perceived as a withdrawal of your interest. You have, in effect, built your own prison. You are now trapped, forced to constantly outdo your last performance just to maintain the level of interest you mistakenly believe you created. The single cup of coffee that once provided a jolt now requires a high-powered energy drink just to achieve the same effect. You become a dopamine dealer, running faster and faster on a treadmill, working twice as hard just to keep her from getting bored. This is the endpoint of chasing exhaustion. You are no longer building attraction. You are servicing an expectation you created. And the worst part is, all that past investment you've poured in, it has an expiration date. That expiration date is what we call the half-life of gratitude. Most men who chase operate under the dangerous illusion that their investments are being deposited into an attraction bank. Do they believe every grand gesture, every expensive dinner, every late-night validation session is building up a reserve of emotional equity? This is a complete fantasy. Gratitude is not equity. It is a fleeting emotional response. It decays rapidly. The effort you expended last week is irrelevant currency today. Her attraction is not a spreadsheet that logs your past deeds. It is a real-time emotional barometer, and it is only measuring the value you are demonstrating right now. You are not building a safety net of loyalty. You are simply the person who did something nice in the past. This sunk cost fallacy is the chaser's greatest trap, making him believe his past sacrifices must guarantee future interest. They don't. This misunderstanding is the source of the chaser's chronic resentment. It is the man who says, "But after everything I've done for her, how can she be so cold?" The truth is, everything you've done was amortized by the next morning. It was a spike of appreciation, not a permanent structural change in her perception of you. You are trying to buy today's attraction with yesterday's currency. This logic will always fail because attraction is not transactional. It is biological and emotional. You cannot reward someone into feeling attraction for you. In fact, your entire model of rewards is backward. You are rewarding her for her potential or worse, simply for her existence, hoping she will eventually give you the behavior you want. This violates the most basic law of behavioral psychology. The most fundamental law of behavioral psychology is that you reward the behavior you want to see repeated. The reward must follow the action. It cannot precede it. You don't give a child the prize for winning the race before they've even run it, hoping it will inspire them to run fast. That's not inspiration. It's a structural breakdown of cause and effect. The prize is the consequence of the victory. In any training scenario, from teaching an intern, a complex task, to coaching a professional athlete, the reinforcement, whether it's praise, a bonus, or recognition, is delivered after the successful completion of the desired behavior. This is how the brain wires itself. For repetition, action leads to reward. This is the only way to build a pattern of positive behavior. The chaser, operating from a place of fear and hope, gets this entire mechanism completely backward. The chaser is delivering the reward first. Your attention, your initiation, your validation, and your energy are the rewards. And you are giving them away for free. You are rewarding her for her existence, or worse, for her passivity, hoping that your upfront payment of energy will one day inspire her to reciprocate. From a behavioral perspective, what action are you actually reinforcing? You are reinforcing her inaction. You are training her with clinical precision that all she has to do is sit back and receive, and you will double your efforts to fill the void. You are teaching her that her low-effort replies are acceptable. You are teaching her that she doesn't need to initiate because you will always do it. This dynamic doesn't just make her complacent. It fundamentally changes her perception of your role in her life. This pattern of rewarding inaction doesn't create gratitude. It manufactures entitlement. When your energy and validation are constantly available, they are no longer perceived as a choice you are making, but as a resource she is owed. You have successfully transformed yourself from a person she is getting to know into a service she is subscribed to. You are the reliable delivery of good morning texts. You are the 24/7 validation hotline. You are the one who provides the entertainment, the planning, and the emotional support. You are no longer a potential partner to be impressed or desired. You have become a function, and just like the Wi-Fi, in her apartment or the running water. In her building, your function is only noticed in its absence. Your presence is assumed, your effort is invisible, and your consistency is taken for granted. This is the end state of the chaser. You become a utility. A utility is not something a person feels attraction for. It is not something they feel gratitude for. It is something they simply expect to be there, and they become annoyed if the service is interrupted. By flooding her with unearned investment, you are not demonstrating your high value. You are demonstrating your high availability and expendability. You are actively teaching her to devalue your energy by signaling that it is not scarce. You have created a dynamic where she benefits from your performance, which makes it structurally impossible to figure out if she is attracted to you or if she is simply addicted to the benefits you provide. This dynamic makes authentic filtering impossible. When you lead with a high-volume performance, constant validation, non-stop initiation, and endless availability, you are putting out a signal that is all noise. It becomes impossible for her to even know if she is attracted to you. She is responding to the stimulus, the validation, the entertainment. Your actual identity, your character, your quiet confidence is buried beneath the avalanche of your own effort. If you walk into every new interaction and immediately offer a feast, you will never know who is there for your company and who is simply there for the free meal. Your overinvestment is a fog that obscures the truth. To filter for genuine attraction, you must remove the noise. You must create a space where she can experience you, not just your function or your performance. This is the only way to get a clean reading, the strategic withdrawal. We discussed earlier, stopping initiation is the only filter that works. It is the act of clearing the noise. When you pull back your energy, you are not playing a game. You are creating a moment of clarity. You are removing the benefits from the equation, forcing her to evaluate your presence in its absence. Does she miss you? Does she value your perspective? or was she simply enjoying the convenience of your reliable energy supply? This is the test that separates the opportunists from the genuinely interested. The opportunist will vanish or become demanding, angry that the utility has been shut off. But the person with genuine interest will notice the change and use their own energy to bridge the gap. Which is why we must understand the true power of scarcity. This strategic application of scarcity is the ultimate diagnostic tool. We must immediately separate this from the juvenile tactic of playing hard to get. That is manipulation. This is verification. This is not about pretending to be busy. It is about demonstrating that your time and energy are fundamentally valuable, and you will not allocate them to unreciprocated black holes. In any system, scarcity dictates perceived value. Your constant, abundant initiation signaled that your energy was cheap and held no weight. By stopping the chase, you are not pretending to be scarce. You are simply enforcing the reality that your focus is a finite, high-value resource. Her reaction to this new boundary, this sudden absence of your pushing energy, is the most honest piece of data you will ever receive. It is the clearest, most unfiltered signal of her true interest. It reveals whether she values you or if she was merely enjoying your performance. This confusion between the self and the performance is the central sickness of the modern dating system, a system we can call emotional capitalism. In simpler terms, it is a high-speed performance market. It forces everyone to become a product, constantly updating their emotional resume and curating their brand just to stay competitive. You are no longer meeting people, you are auditioning. Men especially are trapped in this relentless bidding war for attention, told they must be the loudest, funniest, and most resource-heavy bidder just to get a foot in the door. This system has a fatal flaw. It does not reward authenticity. It rewards the best advertisement of authenticity. It rewards the performance of confidence, not genuine confidence itself. If you've ever felt like dating has become a draining, competitive second job, that's exactly what this is. The chaser is the man who fully buys this logic, believing that by putting in the most work, the most effort, the most money, the most validation, he will win the prize. But in this rigged market, the highest bidder doesn't earn her respect. He simply inflates the market, becoming the service standard. She now expects from everyone, which is why the only solution is not to bid higher, but to find the cure by withdrawing from the auction entirely. The cure for this exhausting performance market is not to play the game harder. It is to transcend the game entirely. The cure is strategic detachment. This must not be confused with apathy or pretending you don't care. This is the clinical practice of frame control. It is the critical difference between having feelings and letting your feelings have you. The chaser is possessed by his feelings. His fear of loss dictates every move, every text, every anxious thought. He is a reactor. The man who practices strategic detachment is an observer. In simpler terms, he has separated his ego from the outcome. His confidence no longer comes from her external validation. It comes from the internal certainty that he will be fine regardless of her decision. He operates from a place of sufficiency, knowing his energy is his most valuable asset, and he refuses to pour it into a dynamic that is not reciprocal. This frame control is the core of true attraction. The chaser is constantly trying to impress, to secure, and to validate, operating from an unstable frame of scarcity. His emotional state is volatile, spiking with a good reply and crashing during silence. This is a weak, reactive frame. The cure is the restoration of a strong masculine frame, one that is stable, centered, and purpose-driven. Your emotional center of gravity must be inside yourself, not inside her. When you stop worrying about losing her and focus entirely on evaluating if she is even worthy of your investment, the entire power dynamic inverts. You stop being the contestant and become the judge. And the most profound benefit of this shift is not even how she responds. It's what this reclaimed energy does for you. That reclaimed energy is the single most valuable asset you possess. Think of the sheer volume of mental and emotional bandwidth you were spending, the hours spent analyzing her replies, the anxiety during periods of silence, the strategic planning for the next interaction, the mental fog of uncertainty. That energy is a finite resource, and you were burning it in a black hole of zero return investment. This is the primary reward of stopping the chase. It is not about getting her back. It is about getting yourself back. This recovered focus is a superpower. It's the energy you can now reinvest into your actual mission, your career, your physical health, your intellectual growth, and your own mental peace. You stop being a consumer of her validation and become a producer of your own value. Your entire center of gravity shifts. You are no longer a satellite orbiting her. You are the star, and your purpose is your fuel. This restoration of self-sovereignty is the ultimate victory, and it allows you to build a practical framework for all future interactions. So this is the new protocol, and it is non-negotiable. It is the practical framework for your reclaimed energy. First, you will apply the 7-day diagnostic test to any new interaction or any current one where you feel confusion to get a clean baseline of her interest. After that, your energy becomes a mirror, not a floodlight. You will match her level of investment or lead it only slightly, but you will never again return to a state of desperate overinvestment. If her replies are low effort, your initiation becomes scarce. If she initiates and invests, you respond warmly and reward that behavior. Your default state is no longer chase. It is observe and filter. You are no longer auditioning. You are treating this as a probationary period where your time, validation, and energy are valuable resources to be earned, not free samples to be given away. This is not about being cold. It is about being clinical. It is about respecting your own focus so profoundly that you only allocate it to those who prove they understand its value. This is how you stop performing and start choosing.